Well, as we continue in Psalm 23, I'd like to begin with a question. And that question is this: is fear a sin? And you can think about that for a little bit. We're going to tackle that question a little later. But for now, we're going to look at some more truths out of Psalm 23. So if you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 23, and today we're going to focus on verse 4. As we go through this psalm, I would encourage you to memorize this psalm. Maybe some of you already have it. You know it by heart. It's something you learned as a youngster. Maybe you learned it as a young person and you kind of forgot. You forgot some of those lines in there. You don't have it all down. Maybe you've never sought to memorize this. I think now is a great time to do that. As we're working our way through it and you're hearing a lot about Psalm 23, it's going to be that much easier to memorize. So I would encourage you to do that today. Jordan, if you would just put on the overhead there. Today, as we read through Psalm 23, I again want to read through the entire Psalm of David. But as we get to verse 4, I just ask that we would all just read that in unison, that scripture together. But let me just begin and then we'll jump into verse 4. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And in verse 4, together, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, as we went through the first three verses together, there were a lot of positive things, weren't there? A lot of encouraging things that we heard from David. David spoke about the Lord being his shepherd, and God, as his shepherd, was able to do great things, wasn't he? David said that God is able to make me lie down in green pastures. God was able to feed him spiritually. God was able to provide peace. God was able to restore his weary soul. And God was able to lead him on those paths that would please him. That's a lot of good stuff, isn't it? A lot of positive stuff that we like to hear. But as we come to verse 4, those things that we hear from David are maybe not so, quote, positive, are they? Yes, they're encouraging, but you know what? There's this reality that darkness may just come upon us as well. And so David says, even though, God, even though you are my great shepherd and you can fill me, you can satisfy my weary soul, and God, you can lead me on your path, sometimes that path of righteousness may just be a very dark, dark valley that I'm going through. Sometimes I may just actually stare death in the face as I walk with you. And as we look at the Apostle Paul, there are many similarities in his life as well. Today I'm going to look a lot at Paul's life and David's life and how they really were so similar in many ways. But Paul said this out of 2 Corinthians 1. Dennis read that for you this morning. Just want to repeat two of those verses. Verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we had felt that we had received the sentence of death." Paul, just like David, had walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And so Paul says this, you know what, guys, it's like this. I'm on death row. And the sentence has been handed down and the judge has signed the order and I'm sitting in the electric chair right now. And they've got these wires connected to me and I see the man over there and he's got the plug in his hand and he's about to put it into the outlet when God delivered me. God rescued me out of that situation that I faced. I stared death in the face and I live to tell about. This is what Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians. And as you read the life of David, David had these, quote, near-death experiences as well. We see that he's just minded his own business, strumming on his harp, playing for King Saul. Maybe he's playing some kumbaya just to soothe King Saul's heart. And all of a sudden, there's a spear about to be coming at his head, and he's got to get out of the way, and God delivers him from that. And so David is able to speak about these times where he saw death, and he lived to tell about it. As we hear Psalm 23, we often hear it at funerals, don't we? It's a very common scripture that we hear. And there's nothing wrong with that. It ought to be said at times like that. It's a great psalm of comfort. But notice that David does not say the valley of death, does he? He says the valley of the shadow of death. And there's a difference. What is a shadow? We've all seen shadows before, haven't we? We know what they are. They're just hard to explain. They're these shadows. That's what they are. Well, I had to go to Webster to define it a little better than that. Webster says it this way. He says, a shadow is a definite area of shade cast upon a surface by a body intercepting light rays. And I couldn't have said it better myself. What a great way to say shadow. But I'm sure we've all had fun with shadows, haven't we? By the way, Jordan, you can turn that off. And if you want to do one of these on the overhead, go ahead. Show everybody a little snake or something. Yeah, we've all had fun, haven't we, with doing shadows, maybe a little bunny. I know sometimes Lydia at night, the hall light will cast into her bedroom wall, and I can do the little bunny on the wall, and she can see the shadow. How many youngsters have ever been scared? Have they been camping out in a tent? And a few pranksters will go outside the tent, right, and seek to make this great figure and scare the little ones that are inside the tent. Well, why do those inside the tent get scared? What can the shadow do? Shadow can do nothing. It's powerless, isn't it? They can go up and punch the shadow. They can yell at and say, yeah, come on, you want a piece of me, shadow? Why are they so scared of the shadow? Because they know that there's someone or something that is causing that shadow to exist, isn't there? It could be a great big bear. It could be even Bigfoot. There's something out there that causes this shadow. There's some body intercepting that causes these light rays to cause this shadow. I'll get it out. But alas, it's only who? It's just Billy, who's on top of Matt's shoulders, and he's got the sleeping bag draped over his body, and they're intercepting the light rays of the moon and casting that shadow, which is causing this fear in these young ones. So when David speaks of a shadow, he's not merely speaking poetically, as this, that's just a nice way to say he's going through a hard time. No, he's saying there's something very real in his life that is causing him to see death. Death is causing this shadow in his life, and he faced the reality of death. It was oh so close to David. And perhaps some of you have been there as well. I don't know. For me, I can't say I've ever been through an experience where I was this close to death, but maybe some of you have. Maybe an accident, maybe just a situation where you know it was this close and you could have been gone. Maybe a cancer, something that almost took your life, but it didn't. Many of you have. But I think, as I think about that reality, I think about many Christians who are around the globe today who are facing the shadow of death. Because they stand for Christ and because they proclaim Christ in a hostile environment, each and every day that their life is really in their hands. And there's the reality that I could die today because I stand and proclaim Jesus Christ. And many have not only just faced that shadow, but they've faced death itself. But yet even death cannot do what? It cannot separate them from the love of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul says so wonderfully in Romans 8. Let me just read the end of Romans 8. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, what was David's attitude as he walked through this valley? You hear any "woe is me"? What does he say? He says, "Even though I walk through it, I will fear no evil." That brings us back to the question that I asked earlier: is fear a sin? Is fear a sin? Let me ask you, any yeses? Is fear a sin? Yes? Is fear a sin? No. Any yes and no's? Any, it all depends. It's kind of a difficult question. The answer is really yes and no when you look at that question. A few years ago, we had a village missionary mini conference here. Many of you may remember that. And one of the gentlemen that was here was a man by the name of Bill Whalen. You guys remember him? If you don't remember, he was a real tall guy with a very exuberant laugh, just a real encouraging guy. And one of the teaching sessions that he gave was on fear. And I want to share with you one of the things that he said. He said this: "Fear is not a sin. Fear that keeps you from obedience is." Let me say that again. Fear, in and of itself, the feeling of fear is not a sin, but fear that keeps you from obedience or doing the right things in the eyes of God then is a sin. And that's a great way to explain it, isn't it? Because it's not like David never became afraid. We read in the Psalm 56, verse 3, David says, "When I am afraid, then I will put my trust in you." The Apostle Paul talks about fear in his life when he came to preach the gospel to the Corinthians. And he says, "You know what? I came to you guys in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I was shaking in my sandals as I had to proclaim this message of Christ." But he says, "You know what? Even in my weakness, even in my fear, God was glorified." Why? Because you didn't trust in trembling Paul, did you? You trusted in the message of the gospel of Christ. And that was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power at work. Because when you receive the cross of Christ, you believe in the cross and the message of the cross. It's a work of God, not a work of man. It's a God thing, not a man thing. Therefore, if I'm a little afraid as I get up and preach, it's okay. If I've got a little butterflies, it's okay. Now, if Paul said, "I'm afraid and I'm not going to share Christ with you," then what? Then that would have been sin. But for the fact that Paul had a little fear inside, it wasn't sin. He still was obedient. He still did what God asked him to do. And I think that the case can be made for Christ himself. When you think about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does he say? He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Here's Jesus seeing the reality of death, the shadow of death right before him. The Bible says that he was so troubled, so much in anguish, that he sweat what looked like drops of blood. Can you imagine how Jesus felt as he knew that he was going to bear the sin of the world, as he was going to bear the wrath of God for you and I, that he was going to be nailed to a cross? Do you think there was a churning in his stomach at all? I believe there might have been. But yet Jesus did not cause that to, or prevent him from doing the right thing and being obedient to the Father and still going to the cross for you and I. So today, if you are afraid about anything, do not let that fear keep you from walking the paths of righteousness. We see that David decided in his heart that he would fear no evil. That's a great statement by David that speaks of surrendering to the sovereignty of God in his life. David is not saying that he will never face evil, but he says, "I'm not going to fear the evil." David is not saying that nothing bad will ever happen to me if I have enough, quote, faith, a message that we hear today. No, he knows that we live in a fallen world, and he knows that people will oppose him. People will come against him. There will be evil things that happen in his life. There will be times of adversity. What did Jesus himself say? In this world, you will have what? Trouble, trials, hardships, persecution. There will be difficult times. There will be times when you may feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. There, you may just walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, as we look at the Apostle Paul, he says this in 2 Timothy 4:18. He says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." Now, some will misinterpret that verse. They'll say, well, Paul is saying that nothing evil can touch him. And you may hear people today say, well, I'm anointed and nobody's going to touch, nothing evil is ever going to come across my path because I'm anointed and nothing can touch me. But is that what Paul experienced in his life? Absolutely not. Read the Word of God and you will see that Paul faced beatings. He went hungry, hard times. He was nearly stoned to death. Yes, Paul faced difficulty. There was much evil that came against Paul in his life. But Paul said, I know that the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Well, what does Paul mean by that? Well, think about it. What does it mean to be rescued? If our house is on fire over there and we're in the midst of it, and a fireman comes and he puts the ladder to the window and he comes and he grabs me and he rescues me out of the fire. What does that say? That says that I was in the midst of the fire for a time, wasn't I? I was in a difficult, hard place that I was experiencing, and then I was rescued. You see, to be rescued, you've got to be in the difficulty. You've got to be in the situation. And this is what Paul experienced. This is what he faced in his life. And so Paul says, you know what? I know that God is going to rescue me and deliver me from every evil deed, every evil plan of the evil one that comes against me. He's going to rescue me. And even if that evil deed means death, even if people throw enough stones and they kill me, you know what? God's going to bring me safely into his where? Heavenly kingdom. I know that there's never going to be a moment in time where I'm not by my God and he is not with me. And the same was true for David. David knew that there would be many evil deeds done against him. Listen to what David says so often in the Psalms. He says, consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. He says, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long. An attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. This was David. Yes, David faced his share of evil deeds done against him. But again, what was his attitude? His attitude was, I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to trust in the good shepherd because I know that he's going to feed me, he's going to lead me. And so I'm not going to cower in fear as if somehow God is going to abandon me through this valley. And what does he say? That though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Those are some of the most encouraging words that we can hear, can't we, as followers of God, as people who belong to God. To know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That God will be with us. What does Jesus tell his disciples? Remember what he says in Matthew 28, he tells them to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, right? Even to the end of the age. And then what did Jesus do? He left them, didn't he? He ascended to heaven. So what was Jesus saying? Was he lying there? No, he wasn't. He had promised beforehand that he would not leave them as orphans. But who would he leave them with? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is everything that Jesus is in a sense. When Jesus was alive and he ministered to them, as he guided them, as he comforted them, this was what the Holy Spirit could do in their lives and in the life of every single believer across the world as the Holy Spirit resides in the believer. And so today, if you're a believer, take comfort that the Holy Spirit resides in you. the Spirit is often called the Spirit of Christ. It's as if Christ also lives in us. And it's a mystery because we know that he's at the right hand of the Father, but yet he's also in us. And the Holy Spirit is in us as well. And when we have the Spirit, you know what that proves? That God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so today, if you know Christ as your shepherd, don't ever lose sight of the fact that you have a God who will always be with you, no matter what valley you may be in. You have a God who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Well, let's look at the final words of verse 4. David ends that verse with these words, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, when you think of a rod and a staff, that word comfort may not be the first word that comes across your mind, right? Perhaps if you think of that proverb, right? Spare the rod, what? Spoil the child. And if you grew up in a home with maybe a belt or a wooden spoon or an open hand, you're not thinking comfort, are you, when you hear that word rod or staff? But again, we need to remember the context. Remember when we looked at verse 2, how I said you need to look at that verse from the viewpoint of a sheep, right? How the sheep would be led into these green pastures and how the sheep would go to the waters for food and for drink. Same thing with this verse. Look at this verse through the eyes of a sheep. And your shepherd is the one with the rod and with the staff. What are those a sign of? They're a sign of protection. You see, this was what the shepherd would ward off the enemy with. If a wolf came in, what would the shepherd do? Grab that rod, beat off those wolves. Anything harmful came in, the shepherd was going to beat him away with the rod and with the staff. And so there was a great sense of security for the sheep as he saw the rod and the staff of the shepherd. And so too today, there ought to be great security in our lives when we think of our God, who is able to protect us, who knows what's best for us, who sees the danger lurking ahead and is there for us. And no matter what danger, no matter what darkness we may be in, we can still rest our head because we know that he is with us and he loves us. How about you? Can you rest easy knowing that the shepherd is near you, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of confusion? Can you rest your head on his shoulder knowing that he is the great shepherd and he is in control and that you're going to trust him? I pray that you would take this verse to heart today. How David purposed in his heart that, God, no matter what happens, I'm not going to fear that evil thing that's coming against me, because I'm going to put my hope and my trust in you. And God, I know you're in control of my life, and I'm going to surrender and submit to you because you are that good shepherd of my soul. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for the words from your scriptures today. Lord, I just thank you that even though we may face death, the shadow of death, Lord, we may be between a rock and a hard place at times, that, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, even when we are weary and when we fail, Lord, you're always there. God, I pray that we would not take that lightly, but that we would just want to love you more because we know that you love us so deeply. Lord, help us to work on that relationship with you this week. Lord, that you are just that shepherd that loves us, and that we might grow closer to you this week, Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.